You're Locked On Senators, your daily podcast on the Ottawa Senators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm Jake Sanderson, and you're listening to Locked On Senators Podcast.
I'm Tim Stützle, and you're listening to the Locked On Senators Podcast.
Welcome inside episode 308 of the Locked On Senators Podcast. I'm Ross Levitan in the heart of enemy territory, downtown Toronto, alongside Brandon Piller up in Collingwood. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app for free on the iOS store and now on Android as well. And join Pillsy and I this weekend on Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. to get in on the action. Note the change, 2 p.m. this Sunday. It's interactive radio. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. We got to note a couple injuries on the Senators' back end, so there'll be changes to their decor tonight with more youth being injected, both Jacob Bernard-Docker, and it's now officially Ole All season. We'll tell you exactly what to expect from Allsing and JBD in a preview of another matchup against the Montreal Canadiens, or a revenge game for the overtime loss on Saturday. Of course, we have a full preview of that. But speaking of Montreal, it was 8 years ago today where it was just game three. That's all you have to say of 2013. We'll dive into some sense of nostalgia, wrap up what, in my opinion, is the best game in franchise history. This is the Locked On Senators Podcast, your team every day. Today is Wednesday, May 5th, and Pillsy, it's never good to see your best defenseman go down with injury, let alone two veterans coming out of the lineup. But how excited are you to see a couple rookies get an opportunity here down the stretch?
Well, Sens fans have been asking for it, and be careful what you wish for, I guess. Yeah, exactly. We wanted to see JBD in a game, and DJ Smith kind of kept saying, yeah, we're going to get him in, we're going to get him in, but now his hand is forced, and he has no choice but to get Jacob Bernard-Docker in the lineup, much to the delight of Sens fans. But like you said, it comes at a cost at losing Thomas Chabot and Josh Brown. So Ole Allsing also will get his NHL debut here, and this is going to be an interesting new look for this back end. Like, man, if you would have told me at the trade deadline that the Sens, half of their decor would be Victor Mete, Jacob Bernard-Docker, and Ole Allsing, I wouldn't have believed you, but here we are.
You could have almost said the same about Eric Branstrom when he was in and out of the lineup as a healthy scratch, and Zub was a healthy scratch earlier this year as well. The good news, though, since JBD hasn't been in the lineup, those two have been practicing together for upwards of 2 weeks now, so hopefully have had a little time to build some chemistry. Do you know when that injury happened with Josh Brown? Because he got in that little melee, whatever you want to call it, with Matthew Perreault. He sat in the box there. I don't think he ever left the game, but seems like he's going to be out for the rest of the year as well.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that because I didn't see one kind of obvious play where it looked like Josh Brown left hurt. I'd be interested to know what his injury is because I didn't notice anything, but that's tough. And especially, man, that's got to be tough for Josh Brown because you had the coach's confidence. Like, whatever the opposite of the doghouse is, I guess the main house, you were in DJ Smith's main house. You were in the living room on the couch.
You're sleeping TV in the bed.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. So he finally had a vote of confidence and was being put in the lineup on purpose over other guys. You know, like that's a good feeling as a guy who was healthy scratched most of the year. So that's tough for Josh Brown to have that happen. But I am happy it opens the door for JBD because there's four games left back-to-back on the road, which will be interesting to see how JBD does there. And then also two home games, which I think are positions for him to succeed in with DJ Smith having a last change. So it's going to be all eyes on the decor here tonight.
Yeah, especially for me. We know JBD, we've watched the Nodak Sens all season long. Like there's a 4-1-1 of JBD's game. It's steady, it's reliable, it's a crisp first pass. It can be physical at times. But who the heck is Ole Allsing? He was a really good player in the Swedish Hockey League and then signed that two-year deal. But they knew the first year of that deal, he was going to stay in Sweden and produced really well there also. But the wheels kind of fell off in Belleville. And he was with Belleville at the early part of the year And much like Ottawa, Belleville's improved down the stretch, and he hasn't played a game there in a long time. He's been on the Sens taxi squad for the better part of 2 months. 7 games with the B-Sens, minus 10, 1 assist. Not great, but go back to his time in Sweden, and that's not an easy league to play in when you're 19, 20, 21 years old, the way Alsing is. So Alsing comes in as a 25-year-old now. So as a 23-year-old in Sweden, put up 20 points, was a plus player. The year before, actually, was plus 26 in 49 games for Djurgården, one of the main clubs over there. So I'm excited to see what he brings. He's a smaller puck-moving defenseman that I don't think you're expecting him to fill the shoes of Josh Brown, especially when it comes to boxing out in front of the net. But to you, what would be a solid debut here for Ole Alsing?
It's going to be interesting because, like you said, he is a guy with pro experience. Not a great start in Belleville. Actually, I kind of forgot about this, Ross, but he played in Austria on loan in Europe this season. 13 games, he had 5 assists. I mean, that's a pretty minor league. I'm not even sure where that league really stacks up, so don't take too much into account there. But for Ole Alsing, I'm just expecting nothing fancy. Like, honestly, like, all he needs to do is play smart and simple, and really his main role here is to help out Jacob Bernard-Docker. And yes, they're both rookies. Actually, JBD has more NHL experience than Ole Alsing, but he's a older guy. He's got more pro experience. So I'm going to want Ole Alsing to kind of be the big brother for JBD here and make sure he's always the man back if JBD decides to pinch or gets out of coverage, that kind of stuff. So I'm not expecting big things from Ole Alsing, but it's going to be fun to watch what he can bring to the Senators at an NHL level.
So the Sens' left side of their decor tonight is 21-year-old Eric Brännström, 22-year-old Victor Mete, and the veteran 25-year-old
with no NHL games
with Ole Alsing. So stick taps to Ole for making his first NHL start. And then for JBD, it's his second. He got in against Winnipeg. I thought that the first couple shifts, he looked a little nervous, but settled in. And now this is where being a health bomb is beneficial. He's got to see how many NHL games now up close and personal, getting to see the defensive coverage in practice, getting to learn from how Zaitsev blocks in front of the net and how Thomas Chabot skates the puck out of the zone. He's had a chance now over almost a month to watch these guys, and I think that's going to help take a step in his development. I think he looks comfortable from shift one tonight.
Yep, I think we're going to see a totally different Jacob Bernard-Docker. And I'm glad you mentioned Chabot. I kind of forgot that JBD had been living with Chabot this whole time. So
right.
what a mentor to have at the dinner table, just to bounce questions off of and just to kind of hear what it's like to be a pro in the NHL day in and day out. And Thomas Chabot is a great guy for that. So I'm really happy with that living situation. And Ross, I hope that in practice, JBD has practiced getting that puck out of the corner and taking that first hit over and over and over, because that's what he was scared of when his first couple shifts. So now he's got used to that crunch of an NHL body up against the glass and the board. So he's going to be a little more ready and less hesitant, I think, in this game tonight.
Full preview coming up. It's the Sens and Habs in Ottawa. Tonight, the Ottawa Senators will not hold a morning skate, but DJ Smith will speak to the media in about 5 minutes from when we're recording. So while we wait for that, let's tell you some more information about the Locker Room, because it's the live audio only sports talk platform that's free to download and very easy to use. You can go there, download the app. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post game breakdowns. We like to do it as a Sunday weekend recap, because typically Ottawa plays on Saturday night. There's no LOSP until Monday. So join us in the Locker Room. Pilsy and I are there to join ongoing conversations, and it's been a lot of fun getting your takes as well. We do our typical spiel and then we open it up. And while we're talking, while we're doing our typical podcast, basically, we're reading the live chat as well. And you can be interactive in this. It's all what it's about. It's interactive radio. I've been loving the Locker Room. So here's how you do it. Once you download the app, create your profile and start following at Ross Levitan, at Brandon Pillar. And there's a whole host of other people on the Locker Room that are great follows as well. Because once you follow us, you'll get a message when we go live, a notification, that is. And that way, you can join us in the Locker Room. You'll never miss a beat. It'll be at 2 p.m. this Sunday. Usually, we do 10 a.m., but you know, Mother's Day, you better be cooking mom brunch on Sunday morning. But after all that family time, let's talk some Sens, right? So at 2 p.m., We'll get in on that. All you need to do is download the Locker Room app for free in the iOS store. We mentioned it's on Android now as well. Create a profile, link your Twitter if you'd like, and join the NHL group. You can follow at Ross Levitan, at Brandon Pillar, like I said, and come with your spiciest takes. It's Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
And Ross, speaking of spicy takes, my Built Bar flavor this week is going to be spicy, but I'll get to that in just a second because I want to talk to you guys about my favorite protein bar, and it can be your favorite protein bar as well. All you got to do is try it because this is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's Built Bar. 16 amazing flavors. You got 8 chocolate with nut, 8 chocolate nut free. But the most important part, all bars are covered in 100% chocolate. So you chocolate lovers, this is the protein brand for you. They're soft and easy to chew. The texture is probably my favorite part of the entire Built Bar lineup because every single flavor, whether it's nut free or with nuts, you can guarantee that that texture is going to be perfectly soft and nice and easy to chew. Now, we talked about hot takes for the Locker Room. If you're coming on to talk to us, well, a hot take, a spicy take is Pilsy's pick of the day. This is a crazy new flavor, guys, from Built Bar. It's called Sweet Fire. It's a little special for Cinco de Mayo. And this chocolate bar is going to be a little spicy. It's got that chocolatey taste that you know and love, but mixed in are real pieces of jalapeno. So if you guys like spicy food and you like protein and you like low sugar, low carbs, but high protein, then this is the Built Bar for you. So how are you going to get your hands on this delicious treat? Well, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Once again, for the people all the way in the back, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar.
All right, Pilsy, it's the 10th and final meeting between the Montreal Canadiens and Ottawa Senators tonight. Right now, the Sens hold a 5-3-1 lead. You know, they've already won the season series, but it's always good to put salt in the wound of a Habs team that's won twice in a row, both on overtime goals from Cole Caulfield. Safe to say he's your lookout player tonight?
Yeah, I mean, that's the easy one, so we'll put that one away. That's the obvious one. My lookout player is going to be Philip Deneau. You talked about Cole Caulfield scoring the game winners. Well, Philip Deneau scored the game-tying goal up against the Leafs in the dying seconds with the goalie pulled. He's up to 5 goals, 19 assists, which isn't that crazy, but what I'm going to be watching for him is his face-offs. We've been talking about the Ottawa Senators struggling in the face-off dot, and this is going to be a tough challenge for the Ottawa centerman because he's at a 52.59 face-off percentage, and he excels at shorthanded face-offs. He's in top 10 of shorthanded face-off wins in the league. This is a guy who is an unrestricted free agent after this year, and I'm going to be keeping my eye on him because that's someone that the Senators could use, a veteran centerman that can win draws and play shorthanded. I don't see Chris Tierney in the mix here, really, so we could get an upgrade of him with someone who can win face-offs and kill penalties and get a little more points than Chris Tierney did. So that's just someone I want to look out for because I'm interested in him in this offseason.
Yeah, the Senators over their past 6 games have just been absolutely terrible at snapping the puck back off faceoffs. 40% last game, 25% in their last game against Montreal. They won 53% in their last game against Vancouver, and then 39%, 29%, 28%. Going back, but if you go to the trade deadline, just I like that marker because the Sens are 7-2-1 since then. Ottawa's 30th in the league in faceoffs, but tonight they're not going up against Vancouver, who's 3rd, or Winnipeg, who's 4th in the league in faceoff percentage. They're going up against Montreal, and despite, like you said, Deneau is a good faceoff man, they're still 23rd in the league over the past 2 weeks. So there is that to kind of, you know, have in your back pocket that you're not going up against such an elite core, such a depth-wise. You have Kotkaniemi, who I'm pretty sure has a worse face-off percentage than Brady Tkachuk.
He's playing the wing, even. I don't think he's playing center anymore.
Right, but I thought they drafted him because he's the big centerman with vision that they've been looking for since they tried to get Le Cavalier to come to, as a free agent, and never worked. So Anyways, the Montreal Canadiens, they're a team that's you know, feeling themselves right now. That's what a couple overtime wins will do. And I think that what's key for Ottawa and what they were able to do on their last win against Montreal, and hell, they played well, I thought, in the first two periods of the last game, but they got out to an early lead, and I think they shattered a bit of confidence. This Montreal team, ever since, like, under Ducharme, they're still a 500 team. I think that their confidence, although maybe picking up in recent times, if you can get to them early, I think that they're pretty fragile. So you might be able – what do we call fragile was the word? The frauds and the fragile altogether. So I think that if you're Ottawa, you're looking at the first 10 minutes. Don't think about more than that. You have some inexperience on the blue line. Don't be surprised if Nikita Zaitsev sets a career high in ice time tonight. I think he's going to be relied on quite a bit. Mete, we saw, was playing upwards of 24 minutes last game. I think those are the two guys who are going to have to be the workhorses on the back end. Now, Brännström's an easy guy to throw in the mix there too, but just based on last game, I mean, yeah, there's a bit more penalty kills. They went 6-for-6, so Mete was out there a bit more, but I think that DJ Smith is going to rely on those two guys quite a bit tonight.
Yeah, and that's the point I wanted to make. It's going to be, I'm more interested to see how Brännström does, because I really thought when Chabot went down, all right, here's a big chance for Brännström to quarterback the number one power play unit. Let's see what he's got. And I was not impressed with what I saw. So I want to see Erik Brännström. We talked about Olli Alsing and JBD having a chance to step up with some injury opportunities. I think this is Erik Brännström's biggest opportunity to make a big splash and let the Ottawa Senators brass know, and especially DJ Smith know, just because I'm a little guy, I can still provide in other ways, and I'm going to be your guy on the power play with Chabot out.
Is he your locked-on player in tonight's game?
Yeah, I'll go with Brännström, because that is the guy I'm going to be focused on more, and we did say we were going to focus on the decor, so that's going to be so interesting to watch him. As an honorable mention, though, it's got to be Brady Tkachuk, too, because he was my locked-on player before, because he had his worst game probably of the season. That overtime was tough for Brady, playing the whole time, and they get scored on there. We don't need to hash who got the winner. That's not important. But nope. Yeah, so my main locked-on player is going to be Erik Brännström, but I'm also keeping an eye on Brady to have a bounce-back performance.
My locked-on player is Brady Tkachuk's best friend and the birthday boy. I want to wish a happy 22nd birthday to Josh Norris. Noof got in a great tilt the last game against Montreal, took down Romanov. He's got 6 points in 9 games. Against Montreal this year, averaging almost 17 minutes in ice time. And I just want to see him, you know, carry that momentum. If you're Hab, you know that this guy's willing to chuck him, maybe creating a little extra space for himself. And I need that top line to get back to where they were in the Vancouver series and into the game against Winnipeg as well. Because, yeah, the last two games have not been their best as a line. So let's see how a young unit like that can rebound. So I'm going to be locked on to Josh Norris tonight. And speaking of Josh, as DJ Smith is speaking to the media and is updating the status of Josh Brown, said he blocked a shot in the second period and played the rest of the game with a broken foot. He lauds his toughness, says he's not sure how many guys would have played through it. But at that point, and I'm not discrediting him at all, that is pretty impressive. And they're already down to 5D. So if he goes out, you're rotating 4 defensemen. So I think he felt a little added pressure to stay in. But when your foot's broken like that, from what I've heard, it's when you take your skate off that the swelling starts, and that's when the pain. So he was probably like, let's delay this as much as possible. But good on him. With a broken foot, he shows Matthew Perreault how to chuck him a little bit too. So pretty impressive stuff there from Josh Brown. But he'll be out of the lineup for the rest of the season. Meanwhile, Thomas Chabot won't play, but it's not an injury of major concern. Pilsy, my quick question on that, do you think that out of precaution they hold him out of the world championships, or if it's something the player wants to do and he's healthy enough to do it, you let him play?
When does the world championships start?
I want to say it's mid-May, so maybe in the next like 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's tough, because depending on what his injury is, we still don't know, right? It's not correct. Disclosed, so that's tough, because I see a lot of benefits for Chabot heading over there, especially because he's going to be one of the leaders on that team, especially on that back end. And I just think if you're a Senators player, you had a stretch where you didn't play hockey for over 300 days, and now you're getting an opportunity to stay fresh during the offseason, or stay at least in the flow of the game. So I want Chabot there, but if he's hurt, it's definitely not worth re-injuring himself, because that's one guy we need at the start of the season for sure. So for now, I would say I would cautiously hold him out. But again, I have no clue what his injury is, so it's tough to say.
There is a lot of interesting notes to get to with this lineup. I want to start in goal, though. Philly franchise has been so phenomenal, and he's on the third string. He might not even dress tonight. It's going to be Anton Forsberg between the pipes. Thoughts?
Why?
I don't know.
I don't like that at all, especially because Forsberg, that's a guy who's coming off an ankle injury. I don't know what his health is like, but that seems like a head scratcher, especially with DJ Smith. You've got one of the best goalies in the league in Philly franchise with his save percentage and goals against average stats. It just baffles me that especially a guy who goes by the motto, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, and ride the hot hand, all those kind of cliches, that would point perfectly to getting Philip Gustafson in another game here. And you've already seen Anton Forsberg and what he's got. So it seems very strange to me that they're doing this, but maybe they want to give Gus a break. I mean, that is pretty intense to be the number one guy for an NHL team. And he's had his work cut out for him, the games he just recently played. So maybe it's just a bit of a rest here, because also there is a back-to-back on the road coming up. So you want your goalies fresh for that.
Well, let's not forget Anton Forsberg's second game with Ottawa was a 35-save win in Montreal against the Habs. So he does have a little room there. I wonder if this is coming from upstairs and Pierre Dorion wanting to see a bit more of Anton Forsberg before deciding what his future holds in Ottawa, whether he's offered a contract as a pending unrestricted free agent or what. And it's just so telling that Marcus Hogberg is just not even in the mix here. I think that this will be the last season that we see him in Ottawa. But, all right, we got the goalies out of the way. Goalie-friendly show. On defense, with Chabot and Josh Brown out, it'll be Mete and Zaitsev. No surprises. I mentioned those are two guys who he'll be leaning on. Keeping together, Branstrom and Zub. And the practice pair, we'll call these guys for now. Ole Alsing and JBD together. I'm curious to see how much they actually play together. I think that they'll both be spot rotated in here and there. But for the first period, I'm sure that they will get a few shifts together, and we'll see how they respond. Up front, keeping the young line together, Norris between Tkachuk and Batherson, and it gets interesting from there. A full shuffle. It'll be Colin White between Alex Formanton and Nick Paul. This line I love here. Pinto in between Stutzla and Connor Brown. And then this one, we'll call this the outcast line, or the uh-oh, like we're looking at the whiteboard, and this isn't where we thought we'd see ourselves. It's Tierney between DeZingle and Dadonov on the fourth line. Pilsy, your overall thoughts on the shuffle in the bottom nine?
I like it, for sure. And I think he's rewarding the right guys here, right? Like, Nick Paul has played very, very well, and he deserves a chance to play with some different guys. You got him with Colin White, who he's usually with, but throw Alex Formanton in there, and you get a burst of speed on your lineup. That's always nice, for sure. I love seeing Stutzla with Pinto, and then Connor Brown as the defensively responsible guy who can also put the puck in the back of the net. That's for damn sure. And then that fourth line, I actually don't mind it that much, and I think people get all crazy, like, oh, Dadonov's on the fourth line, like, got to trade him right away. Hopefully Seattle takes him, all that kind of nonsense. But keep in mind, Dadonov had some of his most successful stints when he was playing on that fourth line. Sure, it was with his comrade Artem Anisimov, but I still think that that's a guy who, with some less ice time and maybe some easier matchups, put him in the right spot. Tierney is a great passer. DeZingle still is very offensive-minded. He doesn't look great recently, but he also doesn't play much, so that's tough. But I think that line can still provide some offense for this team.
I'm really excited to see Stutzla, Pinto, and Connor Brown all together. Remember, Connor Brown's still one of the hottest players in hockey. He's got 15 points in his last 17 games. 12 of them are goals. Is that crazy or what? So Senators, Habs tonight at 7 o'clock. You can follow us on Twitter at Sen Central. We'll be live tweeting the game there. Follow us on Instagram, LockedOn.Senators. And subscribe to the podcast, why don't you? Well, you already made it this far, so why not? And if you don't mind, please leave a review. They go a lot further than you may think. We do always appreciate the support. And hey, last night, Maddie Ghost Sends, a really popular account, he does those face mashups. He put out a tweet asking what your favorite hockey podcast was. And there were a really humbling amount of people said Locked On Senators. So we just want to thank everybody for the notes there. We do this every day. We love it. It's a passion for sure. And yeah, we appreciate that people are actually listening, because once upon a time, Pilsy,
It was just mom and dad. It was just, you know, a couple friends here and there. So it does mean a lot that people listen. So we appreciate that. Please subscribe to the show. And after, since you're already on your phone, why not check out Wealthfront while you're there? Because Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diverse, low-cost index funds personalized just for you. Now, if you don't understand exactly what that means, then Wealthfront is even more important for you, because if you want to invest but you're not too sure about investing, Wealthfront is there for you. There's no manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day, no living those ups and downs. They will automatically handle all the investing based on preferences that you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low 0.25 advisory fee percentage, that is. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/LockedOnNHL. All you need is $500 to get started, grow your wealth the easy way, and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/LockedOnNHL. That's wealthfront.com/LockedOnNHL, all one word, to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/LockedOnNHL and get started today. And once you've gotten started on investing, why don't you put your knowledge of sports on the line at BetOnline? Now, it's the best time of year. Spring's around the corner. So the next props I like to look at is Stanley Cup winners, because as the field is 16, there's the best odds they're ever going to be if you think you know who's going to make it to the Stanley Cup final and beyond, really hosting that trophy. Baseball is a great sport because there's always one or two games during the day. If you want a little afternoon nibble, you know, take a little money line or a little, you know, run line here and there. But we like to stick to hockey here on the Pilsy's Parlay of the Day. We'll get to that. He's got some explaining to do after a hot week last. He'll be back, though. Pilsy always bounces back. Here's how you get your free play money at BetOnline. Because you're a listener of Locked On Senators, because the exclusive home of wagering with the Locked On Podcast Network is BetOnline. So go to betonline.ag and sign up today for a free account. When you make your first deposit, put in the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. That means if you put in 200, bingo, bango, bongo, $100 right there in your account. You put in 100, that's $50 for free. You don't even say anything, but it's free play, right? Because you have to win it to earn it. It's as simple as that. Otherwise, they'd just be giving out money. So when you get your free play cash, you just go over, turn on Locked On Senators, head to this part of it, and Pilsy will hook you up with his parlay of the day.
Yeah, I do have some explaining to do. Last week I was red hot, and this week I have been ice cold. And man, that goalie in Buffalo is just ruining my parlays. Hats off to him, goalie friendly show. But I did not, like I said, I didn't realize the magic of the first game. I didn't think they'd play him in back-to-back games, but he did it, and he got the shootout win for them. So hats off to him. But that's been ruining my parlay. So we're gonna cool it on the Sabres next time, maybe. I think I've finally learned my lesson. So let's start today. Nashville Predators up against Columbus Blue Jackets. Nashville is fighting for their playoff lives. The Dallas Stars are right on their tail, so they need this win. And not many easier opponents than the Columbus Blue Jackets. Ross, their last 10 games has been pretty bad. Actually, it's been 1-5-4 record. So tough sledding for your Columbus Blue Jackets. So I'm taking Nashville money line at -170 all the way. Now let's head out west. Another team fighting for their playoff lives, although not as close a race as Nashville and Dallas, but St. Louis Blues are fighting off the Arizona Coyotes, who are close to them. They're up against the Anaheim Ducks today. I think the Blues get it done. So we're going to take their money line at -235. And now, this is where things get interesting. The New York Rangers up against the Washington Capitals. I don't think I have to set the scene for what happened in the last game.
I want to jump in here. My best buddy lives in Manhattan. He says a pair of tickets for tonight's game And yes, there's limited capacity. 1,400 US. He said it jumped 35% once Tom Wilson was deemed not suspended.
Yep. You think the fans are excited about this one? How about the Rangers? And there's been a lot of talk in the media and people saying, what's going to happen? Dan Quinn pretty much just said it simply. We know what we're going to do in this game. So that's always interesting when a coach gives a blunt response like that. I bet there's mortgages that are put on the board for money on the board in that New York Rangers dressing room, although I'm sure none of those guys have mortgages. But you get what I'm saying. They're putting big dollars up on the board. So I'm taking the Rangers money line at plus 125. It's going to be interesting to see how this game goes, but I think the Rangers, they want to stick it to the Caps on the scoreboard more than anything. So I think they're going to get this done. So in conclusion, Pilsy's parlay of the day, Nashville Predators minus 170 money line, New York Rangers plus 125 money line, St. Louis Blues minus 235 money line. Put $10 into that parlay and you're going to win $40.94. Let's hope that makes up for all the losses this week. That is Pilsy's parlay of the day.
Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get into the action and don't forget the promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. It's BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. All right, Pilsy, before we get to my favorite day in Sens history, maybe second after Alfie's goal to send to the finals, but the line brawl plus Pageau hat trick as a rookie plus 6-1 victory in the first home game of that 2013 series after it came back tied at 1. I digress. We'll get to that. I want to hit on the game you're talking about and really the talk of the NHL right now. Tom Wilson not being suspended for an egregiously dangerous play on Artemi Panarin, pulling his hair and ripping him down, and he gets a $5,000 fine. Now, to put that in perspective, Matthew Barzal was fined a couple weeks ago, $2,000 for diving, for embellishment. So to say that it's barely worse than that is one thing, but how does a guy with the rap sheet of Tom Wilson avoid suspension in this situation?
I honestly don't know, and I think that's the real problem. And I think one of the craziest parts of this is the New York Rangers, that tweet they sent out. There wasn't any political correctness. There wasn't any dancing around. There wasn't any, we're not pointing names here. They were about as clear and blunt as possible coming for George Parros' job, saying the NHL has failed their player safety. And you got to kind of agree with them, no? Like anytime a guy who has that big of a rap sheet and is known for being that style of player and has hurt and injured players before, and that's the fine that he gets, like, John Scott, if you haven't seen it yet, go check out his video talking about it. He makes a very good point. At this point, all the other dirty players in the league are saying, that's all he got for that? It's free game in scrums now. I can get away with murder now. If that's the bar and he didn't cross the line there, it's going to be interesting to see how the NHL works with this and how the NHL players police their own game. And after seeing that happen, because you can't trust player of safety to keep you safe. You got to use your own fists sometimes, and that's what might happen tonight.
Well, you look at the Rangers roster, I don't really know outside of Brendan Smith, and even still, is he really a heavyweight? They don't really have much in terms of scrappers, but when your best player gets mauled like that, you have to stand up. Now, I'll read just that bottom portion of the Rangers statement. We view this as a dereliction of duty by head of player safety, George Parros, and believe he is unfit to continue in his current role. Now, I'm not meaning to make light of this entire situation, but it was funny when you see Artemi Panarin's dog's Instagram account share that statement.
Well, hey, dogs got to voice their opinion too, eh?
Man's best friend.
Yeah, exactly. Standing by him.
So that's going to be an electric game tonight, but it would have to go 10 times beyond what I believe it will to reach the heights of the Senators on May 5th, 2013. Now, I was at this game. I had an aisle seat up in the 300, so I can't count the amount of times I was running up and down the stairs. High five, city. It was electric from, I'd say, middle of the second period. Until then, it was a tense atmosphere. You know how it is with Montreal fans invading Ottawa, and the series was tied at 1 at that point, and Montreal was the favorite. There was already the huge Greiba hit on Lars Eller in game one. There was the words in the media after that, player 61, bug-eyed fat walrus that Brandon Prust called Paul McLean. And then in game three, it was 1-1 midway through. And at that point, the wheels just fell off of the Habs and the entire series, really, although game four went to overtime. But that game three was the most fun I've ever had at a game. Pilsy, the best part was a three-on-one rush. It was Carlson, Alfie, and Turris on a three-on-one. Carl slides it over to Alfie, misses the net wide. Turris goes behind the net to get it. So the fans are like, oh, a missed opportunity. You know how you live and die by every play in playoffs. Then Turris goes out, was able to put it back out front, and then they score. And you're like, oh, man, that's awesome. Everybody's excited. Then off the next faceoff, mayhem ensues.
That is just wild off the next faceoff. And I think my favorite part of that whole brawl is those were Jared Cowan's 5 minutes of fame as an Ottawa Senator. He never looked so good. And I was never so proud to have Jared Cowan in the lineup then when he was absolutely pummeling Ryan White. And Matt Cassian at center ice, he's got Prust in a headlock. And you got to go back and listen to our interview with him. It was just so good. Him describing that moment by a frame-by-frame kind of detail and him saying he wanted to squeeze his eyes out. So he looked like a little bug-eyed walrus too. So
I got the clip. Here, let's listen to Matt Cassian on Locked On Senators. You should go back and listen for sure. But this is what he said about his part in the line brawl.
Underneath, and I am actually trying to choke him out, and all I can see is his little legs kicking. And the thought that actually went through my head was like, because they made the comment about Paul being a bug-eyed walrus, like that was the comment, and I was like, well, maybe I'll turn him into a bug-eyed walrus, like, and his eyes will pop out of his head if I choke him out, like, if you hear enough.
So not only does Ottawa go 5-0 in that fight, like, what is Ryan White thinking at that moment? Like, they just got scored on. He two-hands Zach Smith. Ottawa had Zach Smith, Matt Cassian, Chris Neal, Jared Cowan, and Chris Phillips on the ice. You're going to start a fight against those guys? That might be the top five-man unit in the NHL at that point to go on a line brawl with.
Yeah, honestly, buddy, you got to pick your spots. Read check the game notes,
bud.
Yeah,
yep.
Check the game notes, bud. Like, you, yeah, like you said, you could not have picked a worse time to start that. And you're down 4-1, so you want a momentum boost. So, really, you got to be picking your spot and picking the small opponents and being like, okay, we're down in the scoreboard.
Pajot Conjurer out there. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. Try to beat up on Pajot or something. Although, that's not an easy thing to do. We saw him stand up to it was Wilson and Chara the other night when they were both going at him. So, Pajot was a tough customer. But, yeah, that was absolutely wild. I'm so jealous you got to be at that game. It was wild for me watching the recap of that game. Like, the crowd in a playoff game is
insane.
You can't describe it. You can't describe it. And I've never even been to a playoff game, so I literally cannot describe it.
Let's make that pact right now. We're going to the next Sens playoff game at home.
100%. No matter what it takes. And we, the CTC parking lot will be bumping pregame 100%. And
live
after
show.
Game. It's going to be wild. Yeah, we'll do a live show. That's actually a great idea. We'll do a locker room there. That'll be perfect.
100%. So that's on the horizon, but I just want to finish that portion of the game that was so amazing. And that's not even going to JG Pageau's hat trick. If you head over to Sen Central on Twitter, I put out the YouTube link. There's like a 12-minute highlight pack of the game. It's phenomenal. You have to go and see it. I don't think it has the fights in it, though, so you got to go click on that for the separate one.
No, but it does.
Oh, perfect.
But only small clip. If you want the whole brawl, you got to find it elsewhere.
Yeah, and you need to dive into that. But following it, Ryan White gets the extra penalty, so it's a power play. And right off the next faceoff, it squirts out to Jakob Silfverberg, who is in that series. I was actually wearing his jersey at that game, funny enough. And he goes, skate, stick, goal. And at that point, you're like, okay, the wheels have officially fallen off. And at that point, the beat the traffic chants are going. And to all the Habs fans out there, it was really a really cool atmosphere to be a part of.
Yeah, I'm so jealous you got to do that. And, of course, Silfverberg scored. He was one of the only players left. Like, that gif of him going onto the bench and there's no one else there is just priceless.
Shout out Tim Whale and Sen Central Citizen for posting that. And then you get a little bonus tilt. Subban had his wires crossed. He tried to fight Kyle Turris at the end of that game, too. And you're like, huh? That's the guy you're going to go after? So that game truly had it all. And I've never seen a team celebrate a sixth goal in a 6-1 win like they did when 20-year-old hometown kid J.G. Pageau against the team he grew up cheering for gets the hat trick, and he lost a tooth on the first goal. Subban's stick rode up and caught him in the mouth. So really just phenomenal. And that doesn't even mention the performance that Craig Anderson had in keeping that game 1-1 before it got really out of hand. So really a fun day in Sens history. Can they replicate it tonight? Kind of cool that 8 years later, they're playing against the same Hab.
Maybe it'll be Pinto who starts a line brawl, yes, just as Jake Sanderson said. He'll get things going up against Cole Caulfield. That would be a wild, wild fight.
That would be phenomenal. So it's round two of Pinto versus Caulfield. Only one more point until Caulfield can tie Shane Pinto in the point category. We'll see how he plays a 5-on-5 tonight, because Cole Caulfield's making quite the resume at 3-on-3, but somebody should tell him that most of the games play 5-on-5, so we'll see how that goes for him tonight. But as we mentioned, follow us on Twitter at Sens Central for up-to-the-minute stats, news, and analysis. For today, we say goodbye. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day.